We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mag's £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org, be drinkaware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
It's a True Faith Newcastle United podcast. We are here tonight to look ahead at the last 10 games of Newcastle United season. We're going to introspectively look forward, guess widely, and tonight I've got with me Shar, with Adam, and I've got Joel. I'm Stu. Today we're going to start off, and we're going to have a look at a bit of the perception around Newcastle United at the moment. So how, and some of the players seem to be quite keen for the message to come out there that the season is not over, that there's plenty to play for. And I suppose I'm going to start with you, Joel. Why is that a narrative that's being pushed out to the fans and to the wider media, do you think?
Yeah, so it may just be me conspiring, but I do believe this is kind of like a PR plan pushed by the club. As we've seen in recent weeks, we've seen a few player interviews come out in the kind of same time period. And this is something that I know when reporters have requested in the past that they've basically shut down. So I do feel like there's form dropped, especially with players. Like I will call out Longstaff. I don't think he's been great the past few games. And then you've got the injury news that's broke with him, which they've weirdly sat on. I don't know why they did, but they have. And then like the likes of the Tino Livramento and the Gordon interview as well. I just think everything's came out in one time, quite deliberately. And then like you said, with the players saying in interviews as well about saving the season, I think it's about keeping the fans on side, because we all know how important the fans are at St James's Park. So yeah, it might be me just conspiring, but I do feel like this is being deliberate by the mastermind that is Lee Marshall. So yeah.
Interesting. You're all very clued in. Adam, I suppose same question to you. Any differing opinions on why? Do you think it's because there's been sort of some pressure, external pressure via social media, that that there is plenty to play for, that is the message that's being put out there?
Yes, Stu, I think what you've mentioned there about it being on social media is a really pertinent point, actually. If we take it back to what it literally is, simply speaking, the season is far from over. There is European football to play for, so there's plenty to go at in these final 10 games of the season. I think the reason that they're pushing the narrative is the discontent on social media. And let's remember that social media really represents a very, very small proportion of our fan base. And I think a lot of the media content that we get is sort of in reaction to that, and it caters to the social media audience as well. When you look on social media and you see a lot of fans, there's a few how out grumbles and there's a few should he be here next seasons. But when you're in the stadium, it doesn't feel like that. It's at that point yet at all, or anywhere near that point. Yes, people are a bit annoyed and they're frustrated and disappointed, but there are so many important contextual factors to take into account here. I think it's sort of in response to a lot of social media reaction saying that the season is over now that we're out of the FA Cup. But for me, before that fixture, I was never thinking like that. If we think that the only way that this season is saved is if we leave ourselves and expect ourselves to beat the treble champions on their own doorstep, that's quite a big ask, even taking into account the takeover and everything and the players that we have. We're not at that point yet. We don't have the luxury of being able to go that toe-to-toe with these elite teams. So I think it's more of a rallying cry for the players themselves. I think it's showing, you know, Joel touched on, you know, to the fans, the idea that they're still fighting, that they're still, that they care, that they acknowledge how people might be feeling, that there might be a bit of discontent. But I kind of just think that the main reason that Howe is coming out and saying things is because he's asked by journalists. And why do journalists ask these questions? Is because they pick up on the murmurings on social media and they cater to that audience. So there's always going to be a bit of sensationalism. There's always going to be the idea that they want to write headlines. They want people to click on their articles. Saying that the season is over or having to double down that it's not over, it all comes out of the fact that there's been a bit of reaction to a few bad results and we're not in any cups anymore. I think if we're just being logical about it and think about it literally, yeah, there's absolutely loads to play for. And that goes beyond pride and it goes beyond FFP and it goes beyond anything. European football next season for me is crucial for us to be able to build and progress and to solidify our position as a top eight club and hopefully beyond that. But as we stand and look, we just want, I think if it was down to Howe, I don't think he would be answering any of these questions, really. He's not really a media man, is he? He does it because he's contractually obliged to answer these questions than journalists ask him. So I think it's sort of almost like he's doing a bit of a we're still fighting for seventh place kind of bit from Eddie Howe perspective. But I think a lot of this comes out of the reaction and the type of discourse that you find on social media, and I think that's kind of where it's born out of. Of course there's so much to play for. Of course the season isn't over. They shouldn't have to double down on that.
I think as well there's still a need to differentiate this iteration of Newcastle United from the previous iterations of Newcastle United, and we haven't had to do that so much in relation to what's happening on the pitch over the past couple of years, because what's been happening on the pitch has been by and large pretty positive, and it's been pretty good and everybody's been behind it. And this season's the first season that we've seen it be more difficult, players looking more tired, injury ravaged squad, all of that stuff. And it's a reminder that we're not just complacent with that. We're not just sitting here thinking, oh, that's absolutely fine. We've got 40 points. We're out of the relegation zone, just like we always used to. I think that there's a concerted effort on the part of the PR of the club to say, we're still in this. We still care. We're still pushing. And there's a few reasons for it, and I'm sure we'll get into those reasons, not least, you know, the need to retain top talent and attract top talent. But I do just think that there's another element to it, which is this: we aren't complacent. This isn't what it used to be, and it's going to be okay. Our heads are still in this.
Yeah, they're all excellent points, and I think you're all probably right in lots of different ways. And Howe, obviously, as to Adam's point, is not going to come out and just ignore the question or completely, you know, divert to something completely different. The thing that interests me, and I think I want to get your opinion on, all of you, is there a risk? So Eddie Howe obviously has come under some pressure externally, albeit maybe not on the stands quite yet, certainly online. That seems to be a growing discontent among some fans. Is there a risk that with 10 games to go, that those last 10 games of the season are maybe more of a curse than a blessing? I suppose what I'm getting at is, yes, it's a brilliant opportunity for Howe to lay down a marker, but the injury problems seem to be bubbling away again. Some rumours of different players going down with injuries and, you know, different surgeries being prepared for the end of the season. I think is there an argument that Howe would almost prefer if he could stop the season now? Where we're ending, albeit not very great, would he want to do that? Get out, tilt between your legs, regroup, sign players, build up the squad, start off next season. If you could get inside Eddie Howe's head, what do you think he'd prefer to do? Do you think he'd see the season out with the squad that we'll have, with the problems that we'll have, or do you think that he would decide the other way? Sure, I'll come to you first on that one.
Yeah, because I'm shaking my head violently at you. I realise I just spoke. Sorry, I'll try and keep it brief. No, I think Eddie Howe is a deeply competitive man, and I don't think he will feel... I don't know Eddie Howe. This is all conjecture, obviously. But I think he will feel that this season is not a good account of himself. And he will also feel that... Well, season so far, if you'll allow it... And I think he'll also feel that he doesn't want last season and finishing fourth to be considered the fluke, to be considered the anomaly season, that it was all just actually a bit weird that that happened. And actually he is a mid-table manager and he can't organise a defence and yada, yada, yada. I think he will relish the fact that he's got 10 more games to show people what he can do with this side. And it might be limited because, as you have touched on there, there might be more injuries coming or players playing through injury. We already know that Longstaff is playing with injections in his ankles or feet every game, which, I mean, doesn't sound great. I'm going to say what we're all thinking. That doesn't sound like a good thing. I don't think he would be wishing this season was over. In some ways, maybe, but not literally. I think literally he's probably like, no, we've got 10 more games. We've got loads more to play for. There's plenty of opportunity and winnable games in that bunch. And yes, we've had a million winnable games this season that we haven't won. But I still think he's a competitive, ambitious manager who is looking forward to this challenge.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Shaw, and I think he's someone who in summer, yes, has time to plan and can look a bit more bigger picture, but I think Eddie Howe will thrive on the day-to-day of being a Premier League football manager and the challenge of the next fixture. And you could say a lot of things about Eddie Howe, and has he shown the best of himself this season? In some ways, no, but in other ways, he's had so much adversity thrown at him, and yet we're still in the fighting chance to at least come out of this season with European status. Still, there's a chance there. And what we know about Eddie Howe is he doesn't shirk challenges. He faces up to, he's kind of fearless in that way. He wants to test himself against the best. And I think he'll look at the fixtures that we have left, and he'll look at the likes of, West Ham at home, Everton at home, and we've got Burnley away, Sheffield United at home, Brighton at home, Brentford away. These are games that he knows we can win. And I think he'll be wanting, as Shaw alluded to, he'll be wanting to set the record straight, and he'll want to show everybody that Newcastle United are a good team, that they should be feared. And I think he'll want to use this time, these final 10 fixtures, to remind the rest of the league what we are capable of. And everyone said, we had such a tumultuous and injury laden sort of November, December. It was tough, but we all said they're going to finish the season strong. Now, I think our away form has been pretty decent this calendar year. Some of our home form has been a bit sketchy, but actually overall, we haven't actually lost that many games this season. So I think he'll want to just continue that momentum and get the feel-good factor back at St. James's Park and in the fan base, and get a few wins, get a few goals, get a few clean sheets, and show everyone what he can do and what these players are capable of, because I know he'll want proper closure on this season and not just kind of wish it away. Absolutely agree with Shaw on that point.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd echo both of your points to the nth degree, really. I don't think Eddie Howe is the manager at all to kind of just go for a refresh, as much as it may sound appealing. I don't think that's kind of Eddie Howe at all. And I think that the main thing is it would be nice to get a run of games. I mean, like you've just said, Adam, there's a lot of winnable games in there. I don't think, basing it off previous seasons, that momentum necessarily carries on until next season. It would, of course, be nice, but the main thing is we absolutely have to finish in a European spot, because we know how important that is, not just for FFP reasons, but for just player pull. Like, players want to be playing in Europe, and that goes to our own players as well. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Bruno and Joe Linton as it stands. I mean, Joe Linton's expected to sign a contract. Is Bruno going to stay? I put out a tweet not that long ago. I'll be very surprised if the club manages to keep both of them this summer. So, like, finishing this final stretch is incredibly important. And I know it's cliche to say, but I mean, we'll touch upon them. But that West Ham game after the break, like, that is the definition of a six-pointer. You have to win that. And if you win back-to-back home games, the following game against Everton, then it should put in really good sort of steed for the final eight games, I think it'll be then. So, yeah, going forward, I think, anyhow, he'll want to kind of, like yous have said, he wants to keep the fans and bring that feel-good factor back, because it is hard when you're judging things just off social media. As you said, you know, that isn't the entire fan base, but it's what probably the players see and recognise the most. So I think it's about kind of getting rid of that small amount of negativity. And I'd just like to reinforce as well that, like, Eddie Howe is under, I mean, external pressure, yes. Internally, he's going to be our manager next season, unless Newcastle lost the next 10 games, which isn't going to happen. So, yeah, that's my opinion on it.
They should ignore social media and they should just listen to this first section of the pod, because I'm feeling very enthused and invigorated. We'll leave it there for part one. Just before we do, whether you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening to it as a podcast, we're on Patreon. From between £3 and £8 a month, there is tons of content all done by these lovely people and much more of our lovely contributors. Please think about joining us. Links are in the descriptions, and we'll see you after in part two.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back. In this part, we're going to specifically look at some interesting things that may come up in the next 10 games, things we're looking forward to. And I think, Shar, I'm going to start with you and ask you, is there anything you are personally really looking forward to for our remaining fixtures? It could be the prospect of facing Manchester United again, maybe getting revenge on a team that beat us in the first half of the season, or maybe just how high we'll finish and what we might be able to accomplish. What are you relishing the most?
You know what? I'm kind of thinking about it in terms of, we're out of the cups now, we're out of the Champions League, and almost with all of that pressure off, can we just, like, fly high and have a really fun time for the remainder of the season? I'm really looking forward to the home games. I think I've been slightly influenced by the fact that we've had several hours cumulatively of sunshine now in the northeast, and so it's starting to feel like spring. We haven't had consistent days of sunshine yet, but maybe they'll come. Starting to feel like spring, and I really love football in the spring. I really love being at the ground. I love the build-up. There's a lot of being outside, like, even if you're not drinking, being outside the pubs with your friends or walking up to the ground, and you can just wear your top, and those home games. I think we've got so much to play for, as we all know, as Bruno has told us, they can save our season still. I just think the pressure being lifted some of those home games are going to be so much fun. And if you think back to, you know, those the Spurs game at home last season, and we've still got to play them and things like that, and Everton at home, that should be a pretty good, easy game. It's a nice change to not have to go to Goodison Park on a wet evening for them to be coming to us. So I guess kind of just looking forward to enjoying. I know that there's still a little bit of pressure. I don't want to diminish it, because I know that finishing in those European spots, as Joel said, is very important. But I think so much of the pressure is off that it might just be super fun for the rest of the season. And I'm looking forward to that, because it should be fun. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Hopefully a lot of fun, a lot of wins, and we might even get a new Jacob Murphy meme against Tottenham. Who knows, that could also happen. But in terms of what I'm looking forward to, I mean, firstly, I'll go on a couple of fixtures. I'll point out it is definitely the Tottenham game, because it was so pivotal last season in a win at Old Trafford. Well, it wouldn't be too bad, would it, after they're on the high heels after knocking Liverpool out of one of the most dramatic FA Cup games I've seen. So them two fixtures, definitely, specifically. And I'm also really looking forward to a player who I've raved on about before in podcast, and I just think he's incredibly talented, who's Elliot Anderson. I thought he was our best player in pre-season. He's improved so much physically. His ball retention's an absolute joke. Other players in training even say he's the best dribbler, he's the best one-to-one dribbler. And I just think there's so many things we haven't seen from him yet. Like, his potential's so high. I don't think it's a problem as such as his consistency. I just think he needs to get game time, and then in collaboration with that, add goals and assists to his game. So hopefully he gets given a chance over preferably Longstaff, if he can maybe have a bit of a break after that's just come out that he has been playing with injections. And we know that Joe Willock might have to undergo surgery at the end of the season as well. So hopefully he has plenty of game time coming up. So that's one play I'm interested in. And another thing is also not necessarily changing formation, but I think maybe utilising some of the youngsters more, like Trevon Sanusi. He's only a 16-year-old, but I know some of the lads in the academy really, really rate him and they think he's brilliant. And as well as Ben Parkinson, the 19-year-old. From what I've seen of him, he's been pretty good. He's looked really fresh. He looks pacey. I can't really make too much of a judgment on him because I haven't seen a whole lot. But yeah, I'd like to see a lot of wins, hopefully. I don't think there's too much pressure on. I know we have to get Europe, but I do think that we are going to get that. And Elliot Anderson hopefully being back in the squad as a regular.
I think what I'm most looking forward to is getting Nick Pope back between the sticks, because he is such a huge player. He affects our system's effectiveness so well. And he's just a crucial part of the spine of our team, and we've been missing him for so long. So I think to get Nick Pope back would just make everyone feel, the defence feel, just a lot more assured, I think is the word I'm looking for. And you know, in general, generally speaking, I want to see us get game momentum. I want to see us see how hungry we are for that European qualification place. You know, we want to finish as high up the league as possible, and not just necessarily for FFP. It's about, you know, we want to show everyone, fans especially, just how good we can still be. For me, it's a question of pride, hunger, focus and fight from Eddie Howe and the players from now till the end of the season. And the higher we finish up the league, we have a better chance of getting in Europe, and we have a better chance of showing to players and agents and rival teams that we're here to stay in the top eight and we're here to challenge still. And you know, as Charlotte alluded to before, we don't want finishing fourth to be the anomaly. And in a way, it kind of feel it will always be a bit of an anomaly. But what we don't want to be anomalous is that we're a European fixture, a regular European team. We want that to be the norm. We want to reaffirm that status of being a European club again, which we haven't had for 20 years, you know, beyond this season's Champions League. And in terms of fixtures, yeah, I think Spurs is a great one, because that was just an unforgettable fixture last time out. And Sheffield United, I've got some familial ties to the Sheffield clubs, and It would be really, really good to see us put another 8 past them at St James's Park, because I missed that away game. So that would be lovely.
You've stolen my answer of that one. I wanted a 16-0 drubbing, just using the properties of football. For 1-8-0 away, well, of course, we can double that at home. I think, yeah, mirroring what you've all said, I want to see us sort of get back to where we were, you know, last year. And I think we can do that, albeit with injuries. The shackles are off a wee bit. We can play, you know, outside. There's no real, you know, pressure anymore. It'd be nice to see Eddie maybe try a few new things as well, and maybe try a few different players, to Joel's point, perhaps some younger players as well. So yeah, it'll be refreshing. And you know, when nice weather and the changing of the seasons, things like that, it's always nice to watch a game of football whenever the weather's nice, or it's a balmy sunny evening, if such a thing exists in Newcastle. Fixture wise for me, it's the teams I don't like playing against, but I love winning against. So like, say, Everton at home, I think that'll be great. Hopefully Jordan Pickford shows up and plays the way he usually does against us. Tottenham at home as well, it being such a massive game. And even going away, the likes of Man United, I think will be lovely just to do a double over them. Would be absolutely fantastic this year, or this season, I should say. So yeah, it'll be really interesting. I want to ask, and Adam, I'm going to pick you first, and you'll see why in a minute. So if I asked Eddie Howe, what do you think his most important fixture of the remaining run-ins, and why, his answer would be, and say it with me, they're all as important as one another.
Yeah, that's what it's 100% that. It has to be.
But if you made him, tied him down and put him on a lie detector, just like Mo uses in The Simpsons, Adam, that's why I'm asking you first, and you made him answer his question and you used a lie detector to get, what do you think that lie detector would say? So what do you think Eddie really thinks is the most important? And it could be important for maybe him personally, maybe to you know, it's not even self-vendetta, he's not that kind of guy, but answer questions that others have posed of him and his team. It could be important for the trajectory of the club, even moving into next season, like beating a big boy or a big six team. Does that show what we're about? What do you think would be his real answer as to what the most important fixture that we have left is?
Well, I think his real answer would literally be the next game, home to West Ham. But there's a reason for that. I think he'll want to set the tone against West Ham. Now, if you cast your mind back to the very start of the season, we obviously beat Villa, then we lost 3 on the bounce. And then we came back and I think we either played Milan away or we played one and then Milan. But that kick-started a really, really solid run of fixtures, and quite an impossibly tough run of fixtures that we really came through and really held our own and impressed a lot of people, myself included. And I think he'll want to replicate that. We sometimes often do well when the chips are down and we've had a bit of a break and we're back into it. And I think if we set the tone against West Ham, and also the fact that Eddie Howe will only ever be thinking of the next game. but if we set the tone against West Ham and get a good result against a team that we are vying for a European spot against, and we can leapfrog them, then that's the most important for me, because we'll want to banish any kind of ill feeling or negative thoughts about going out the FA Cup and we didn't do this and we didn't do that. This is about looking forward. This is about, right, we've had a break, we've had a rest, we've got lots of players to choose from now. What's the best way forward? Let's be intense, or let's be sensible if that's the way we're going to go, if we're not going to go the high press way. But West Ham are a good side, but they are quite inconsistent, and you don't know which West Ham's going to turn up. Kudus is a very, very good player. He's on fire at the minute. Bowen, also massive for them. But I think we have enough for them. I think it'll be a great game at St James's Park, and I think he'll be only focused on that. To set the tone for the rest of the fixtures we have remaining would be crucial, and I think that's what he would answer.
I think you're all missing the trick. It's obviously going to be the match in Australia against Spurs at the end of the season. It's clearly, Eddie Howe would love to do that. He won't see it as a massive waste of time or anything like
that. I'm sure he said before, or like we've heard before, that he really doesn't even like pre-seasons abroad. I think he's like, I'll concede to Portugal or Austria, yeah, or whatever. For them to fly all that way for like 2 games, one of them is against the something All-Stars or the age, I don't even know.
A-League All-Stars.
Sure. It just seems bizarre. But yeah, it's probably, he's probably not looking forward to that one quite as much. But I think just showcasing what he can do over the next 10 games and finishing the season as strongly as possible is probably what he's looking forward to the most, isn't it?
You're all probably completely right. That'll do for part two. In part three, we're going to have a look at, well, I suppose, what we might think happen, and amongst some other things, we're going to do a few predictions as well. Before we go, if you are watching on YouTube, if you're listening on a podcast format, please consider joining our Patreon. There is loads of content for between £3 and £8 a month. Link is in the description. Come join us. Really nice. And you won't regret it. And we're back. Talking to part three. We're going to have a think about what we think will happen sort of formation-wise, stylistically, to Newcastle United for the rest of this season. And Joel, I'm going to come back to you first, and I'm going to ask you, what do you think that Eddie Howe will do for the remaining games this season? I'm assuming he'll change his mind a couple of times, but just generally, what do you think will be his most consistent playing formation style? Do you think he'll go back to the formation style he adopted against Wolves, more akin to the 2022 style we used to have, or will he stick with the back five as he did against Man City? What do you think is most likely to be his favoured formation?
I think he's just hell bent on this 4-3-3, if I'm honest. Like, I just can't see him really changing out of it. In terms of like individuals slightly like tinkering their positions, Bruno is a number 8, I think, has improved his performance and our performance as a overall side together so much. I want to see Lewis Hall. I want to see Lewis Hall come in and play, hopefully, as more, so we've got an attacking kind of threat coming down the left rather than when Dan Burns kind of horror shows we've been seeing. But I think formation wise, he really will stick with a 4-3-3. I can't see him sticking with a 5 at the back. So I'll probably see he'll stick with a 4-3-3 going forward. But that I think Eddie Howe's more likely to trial different formations in pre-season, like we've seen last year against Aston Villa and Brighton. And although that's boring and I don't want that to happen, which I'll go on and answer that in a minute, but I do think he's just going to stick with what he's stuck with all season.
For me personally, I think he needs to revert to the Wolves strategy. Yes, I agree with Joel, he'll go 4-3-3, but it's about how he deploys that 4-3-3. And I think what I saw against Wolves was probably one of the most balanced performances of the season, actually, in terms of shutting Wolves' threat out at our end. Yes, we kept a clean sheet, which was very rare for us, but it's being able to shut out chances and XG but also threaten them at the other end as well, and being potent and being clinical on the break, being really fast in those transitions. It was just a really rounded, accomplished performance, I thought, and it meant that we looked good up front and we looked good at the back. And I think we need to go back to that, because if you look at Wolves, and Wolves are a kind of good mid-table team, and West Ham are going to be bringing some threat as well. I think they have a slightly better team, but I think in terms of how we need to go up and approach the game against them, it needs to be similar. I don't mind us not having a lot of the ball, or at least having the minority of the ball. If we're confident that we can shut them out, then I think the strategy that we deployed against Wolves, it just plugs a lot of those gaps, in particular that space in between defence and midfield, which seems to have been a vulnerability for us for months, suddenly vanished against Wolves. And I think we need to do that again, because defensive solidity will breed confidence throughout the team. And I think it makes our whole system a lot more effective if they know and can be assured that we're kind of okay at the back. So when we go forward, we do have pace on the break, and that does suit us. We do have the players to do that. And I think another big part of it is, in terms of personnel, is reintegrating those injured players. I touched on Nick Pope before. I think he's a huge part of that. But, as Joel mentioned, Elliot Anson coming back in, he's a player I've got a huge soft spot for as well. And to see what he can do and alleviate. And he offers something different in midfield to the other number eights. He's a completely different player to Lewis Miley. He's a completely different player to Longstaff. He can carry the ball in a way that Willock can. But actually, I think he's probably got the potential to be one of our greatest creators in the team. And we've maybe been lacking a bit of creation in that final third. So I think he can offer something. But if we remember the end of last season, you had Anthony Gordon coming in January and he never really fully got the speed, but what we saw is him being integrated. He had a tough time where he got brought off as a sub. He got a bit annoyed, but that was him just sort of like getting himself up to speed with Howball. And I want to see this from the injured players to be reintroduced into this system and can invigorate it, can help it thrive. And, you know, we saw Gordon, he scored in the last game of the season, didn't he, against Chelsea. He got his first goal for us on the last game of the season. And then from that point onward, had an unbelievable summer with England under 20s, 21s. And then he's had a great season for us as well. And I just think if we can get some of these players coming back into the starting lineup and offering value off the bench as well, then that'll give Eddie Howe a bit of food for thought. And let's not forget, a lot of these players, they're still playing for a future here. They know that there are going to be players incoming. It's not going to be a massive overhaul, but we're still going to make a few signings and a few big signings. So these players want to play for their place as well. They want to show Eddie Howe and the fans that they're good enough to be here, that they're good enough to take us up to the levels that we want to get to and play at. So I think, I want to revert back to Wolves. I want to see some reintegrated injured players to give us the benefit for going into the summer and next season. And I just want to find some defensive solidity again. I want to see some clean sheets between now and the end of the season, because let's not forget, we had the joint best defence in the entire Premier League last season. And we almost have the opposite form this season at the back. So that's what I want to see in these next 10 games.
I think that we will probably see the 4-3-3, but as Adam says, it might be a slightly more attacking-minded, a slightly more defensive-minded, minded 4-3-3. I don't think Eddie Howe's going to revert to the five at the back that we did at City, largely because that was kind of a personnel, forced by City. And it was also it wasn't a solid back line, was it? It was trying to push up the pitch. And actually, when we did attempt slight presses, I'm not going to over egg it. We did not create a lot of opportunity at City. You know, the sort of wing backs, if you were there to push the ball up the pitch. So it wasn't actually. I did actually quite kind of appreciate that. But again, it depends on your personnel available and the opposition. So I think to end the season strong, I think the rest of the season is going to be like results. It's going to be results. So it's not going to be like, I see what we were doing with that and I appreciate it, but unfortunately we lost again. I think people are going to care more. Morale is going to be buoyed more by results. So I'd like to see us just kind of deploying whatever kind of formation gets us those clean sheets and gets us those wins. I think the win is just the most important thing. I don't see him moving away from the 4-3-3, and I think a part of that is showcasing to potential purchases what how we are going to be playing, because this is how he wants to play, and reverting too much to that, the way that we played against Wolves, is not going to be the right kind of look to any player that we're trying to bring in, because that's not how Eddie Howe wants to play anymore. That isn't how he wants us to set up. So I think that we're going to see sort of a reasonably static adherence to the system, but I'm just hoping that the personnel coming back from injury are gonna play well in that system. Yeah. I think I've kind of danced around the houses a bit with my answer there, but we got there in the end.
Yeah, I mean, in contrast to what I think we'll see, what I hope to see is a lot different, and it kind of is both of your points there. I'll start, and firstly, you know, like Adam said, when Nick Pope was in goal, I know defensive issues haven't just been to Nick Pope, but I do think he's kind of been overlooked, as in we started as a fan base to become, started taken some of his saves for granted. I just think he's a ridiculously good keeper. He's way above Karius and Dubravka. So I'd really like to see some clean sheets in that sort of just defensive tightness, rigidness that we're so used to seeing, rather than us becoming just goal maniacs, but also conceding at the same end. So that's the first thing. And secondly, which I imagine you all agree on as well, like where has the shithouse Newcastle team, where have they went? I'd love to see that back. I don't think we will. I think that's got to be a consistent thing all season, like we did last year. But that would be great to see back. And as well, like I said, Nick Pope, and seeing the confidence, not just from Nick Pope coming back in goal, but the actual defensive confidence, like have the confidence they have behind them. Because I think that's one of the reasons why we've been conceding so many goals. I think when Pope was in goal, they were so much more comfortable. And hopefully a return to form of Botman, who we haven't really spoke about this podcast, but I think we all know he's not been the same player since that injury. And he also might be one of them at the end of the season who has to undergo surgery to bring his best levels back. So they're the couple of things that I'd like to see.
A lot of the things I would have said have already been mentioned. I suppose to echo Adam's point about the Wolves formation and style, that's what I'd like to see. My mind keeps going back to the home game against Arsenal where we won and we stopped them from getting fourth place at the end of the 2022 season. And that whole run we put together to go from relegation zone and after the Leeds match in January all the way through the end of the season, we were a limited team. And we're limited just because of the players that we had in the squad in general. That was probably still our strongest team at that point. We are a limited team now, but through injuries and suspensions and gambling bans and things like that. So unfortunately, we're kind of in a similar position. And yet I would like us to adopt that same style, that same press, that same aggressiveness and intensity that we did then. Which is essentially what we did at Wolves. And that's why I think it was so successful. So I think the phrase, you know, cut your cloth accordingly, I would like Eddie Howe to do that. He would look at what he's got available to him and do that. My worry is he doesn't do that. And to your point, Charlotte, he so desperately wants to be a free-flowing attacking manager and adopt this 4-3-3 approach that maybe is a detriment to things. And I can see why he wants to, and I admire that. But I think there needs to be an element of pragmatism to it as well, especially when we've seen it work against a sort of mid-table team such as Wolves. So it'll be very, very interesting. We've all kind of talked about things we might say. I'm going to push you for one more thing, and I'm going to be quite specific about it. I would like you to tell me, and I'll ask you first, Char, one thing you would like to see happen in the next, for our last number of Premier League games.
I would like to see a picture on the Instagram account of Newcastle United and Twitter and whatever of Joe Linton with a pen poised above a completely blank piece of paper, because that's the way they always do it. If you ever zoom in on the contract signing pictures, that paper has nothing written on it. And I would like that happy face of Joe Linton to tell me that we have signed him on. I know that we are apparently very close on a deal with him, Amanda Staveley having taken over that role after Dan Ashworth was put out into the garden. And I just think that will buoy a lot of people, because as I think Joel said, he'd be surprised if both of them were here after the summer. I personally, I think I've said it on the podcast, would be extremely surprised if Bruno is still here at the end of the summer. I think if Joel Linton stays, Joel Linton has, you know, garnered legendary status around Newcastle for coming in, being a total dud, and then turning into this gigantic legged, shithouse king. And we miss him so much in midfield. And that midfield has been our hugest problem area, in my opinion, for the longest time. So that's what I want to see before the end of the season. Even if, you know, we know he's not coming back in before the end of the season. We know he's recovering from his injury, his thigh injury, until, you know, pre-season probably. Sign that contract. That will make me so happy.
What I want to see is, I want to see Isak score a hat-trick, and I want to see that face he does when he celebrates, when he knows he's done something absolutely mint, and he wheels off and he kind of looks at the camera and he kind of, and he does that face. I absolutely love that Isak face. And if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're only listening to this, you know what face I'm talking about. He did it after he scored against Spurs in the 5-1, when it was just, everything was going wild. And he's just like, did I just really do that? It's that kind of, I absolutely love it. The arrogance of it. It's just absolutely class. He's belt. And if you can get that hat trick against Spurs, that would be delicious. That's what I'd like to see. Alexander Isak.
Yeah, I mean, them two things would be great. And I'm going to just finish on a less serious note. And that is going to be the Kingston Park. He went to my school, the absolute local legend. I would like to see Paul Dummett make his last Premier League appearance, or at least expected last Premier League appearance. As we all know, it doesn't look like he's going to be getting a contract renewal / extension at the end of the season. So, yeah, he's been someone I've bumped into plenty of times in town and spoke to, and he's genuinely really, really kind of lad. He's been a fairly solid servant of the club for many, many years. So, yeah, I'd at least like to see a final cameo from Paul Dummett, as well as Isak's great celebrations, netting three, and obviously Joe Linton staying. But yeah, I'd like to see a kind of final send-off. And I'll push the ball out even more. We might even get a Paul Dummett tribunal, a tribute game. So who knows?
Testimonial.
Testimonial.
Not a tribunal. We're not Paul Dummett to tribunal. Yeah, that would be a terrible way to end his career.
Yes, no, not that. A testimonial, yes. That's what we might want to see. But yes, so that would be my ideal ending.
Cool. If you are a lawyer representing Paul Dummett, please don't sue us.
Yeah, no,
that was satire. It was all satire. sue Joe. Don't sue us. They're all great answers. I think I would like to see him as a very boring one. I would like to see Lewis Hall play some football. That would be quite nice, considering we seem intent on signing him and it's pretty much guaranteed due to the clause. I would like to see what he can do a little bit more. We saw what Tino could do or has been able to do this season. I'd like him to have a go at it. It may, and you have nothing to lose really, in the sense of, you know, we'll have a good go at getting as high as we can in the league. I would like to see, I'm not saying drop Dan Burn, blah, 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 that's been talked about, but I would like to see him play in his left back position and have a chance to run at some defenders, as we saw him do a few times for Newcastle and quite a lot for Chelsea last season. So we know he has it in him as well. Gents, lady, thank you very much for joining us today. If you've been watching on YouTube, thanks for watching, listening on Patreon or on your podcast app of choice, thank you very much. I'll say it one more time. If you have £3 to £8 jangling about in your pockets and you want lots more content like this, head on over to the Patreon. We have tons and tons of Newcastle United content, perfect for big, long international breaks like this where you have no football to actually watch of interest. Speaking of someone who doesn't support a very good international team, that is very, very necessary. Thanks for watching, everyone. Bye now.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the Mags £4 pint, available on all draft beers for all NUFC home and televised games, 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org, be drinkaware. For details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.